Today's message is simply entitled, Do I Have a Broken Heart? Now, the Lord dropped this in our spirits early part of the week. Just begin to churn it over and over again. And it's something that we need to deal with. It's something that each one of us have to face. And as a premise to this, I want to interject this question. And today's message is simply entitled, Do I Have a Broken Heart? Now, the Lord dropped this in our spirits early part of the week. Just begin to churn it over and over again. And it's something that we need to deal with. It's something that each one of us have to face. And as a premise to this, I want to interject this question. And we're going to lean on the Holy Spirit strongly because I have no idea how this is coming out. He does, and that's what's important. I asked this question as I was preparing this morning and just kind of waiting on the Lord a little bit about 6 o'clock. Alarm hadn't gone off. God's good about that. He never deals with alarm clocks. He always gets you up before the alarm clock. How did you come to church this morning? Did you come to church expecting to leave the way you came in? See, when we come into church, there's a purpose. There's a reason. God has a plan. Somebody say amen. God never does anything without a purpose and a plan. He had a plan for you this morning. He had a purpose for you in coming here. This is your home church. This is where you go. This is, you know, this is like a wellspring. This is where you draw life from. It's not the only place, but it's where you gather with the rest of the believers, the rest of the people that God has set all of us in place for a purpose, for a plan. There's a corporate plan. There's a personal plan. And in that plan, we have a responsibility that, number one, we should prepare ourselves to come to church and expect to go home tampered with, lifted up, changed. What? Changed more into the image of Jesus Christ. Shake off that which we didn't need and pick up that which we do need. Take home something that you didn't have before that it will increase what you had. If you had a little revelation on this, you go home with a great revelation on this. That's the plan of God. We come in to get filled up, to be a blessing to Him, and to turn and go out and bless others. Somebody say amen. In that, you had to prepare yourself to come in, which means you had to depend on the Holy Spirit to get you in the place so you're ready to receive. Amen? Well, in this message, you're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit because you are going to have to draw from the Holy Spirit what He has for you. I can't do it. See, I can't do that. This is totally about the anointing. This is totally about you and the Holy Spirit this morning. If you are, what's the scripture say? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So if you are willing and obedient, this is what I'm saying. Hear the voice of the Lord this morning. Hear the Spirit of God this morning and allow Him. Everybody say allow. To touch you this morning. See, I don't have anything to do with it. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm going to speak, and He's going to speak through me. And what happens to you is between you and the Holy Spirit. But it's very, very important. I'm going to deal with it in two directions. Do I have a broken heart? Can I hear everybody say yes? If you don't have one now, you have had one, and very possibly if you're not careful, you will have one. My educated guess by the Holy Spirit is every person in this room has a broken heart. And I would tend to agree with the Holy Spirit that that is correct. Now you say, well, I don't know about that. No, be careful. Wait. Just relax. Easy. It's not a shame to have a broken heart. Amen? What's a shame is we keep it. As we find out about it, we can get rid of it and then continue on with it. All right? So we're ready to deal with it this morning? All right. Hallelujah. Hang on. Buckle your seatbelts. Get ready for the power of God to move in your life. Zechariah 4 and 6 says simply this. Last part of the verse says, you don't need to turn. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures and then we'll settle in where we're going. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's just what I said. It's going to be by his spirit this morning. It's not by the power or the might that's coming through in the preacher. I can holler and scream and you can still sit there. It's by the Spirit of God you will receive the revelation. It's by the Spirit of God you will be touched or not touched. You have the choice. He has the power. I'm going to read this verse now and then we're going to come back to it because this is the verse the Lord dropped into our spirits this week and begin to just churn it between both Kathy and I, and then I just begin to study it and work on it, and by no means will I bring it out in completeness, but we're going to start with it. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. You might as well find it, because if you don't have it marked in your Bible, you probably should. Most of us know this scripture or have heard it before. It's not something that's strange. But it may be something you never dealt with. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desires come, it is a tree of life. Now we're going to come back to that because that is our text, more or less. Probably less, but it is where we'll springboard from. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. Uh-oh, there's that word. Patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. How many enjoy patience? Enjoy waiting? Let me read you a comment. You say, what has this got to do with a broken heart? Well, as some of the good preachers say, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Holy Spirit's going to tell you. God's going to scream it at you this morning. So hang on and you'll find it. Listen to this. Any effort that brings forth fruit meets great resistance. We kind of said that a little bit. Like the size of the enemy determines the extremity of the reward. Any effort that brings forth fruit meets great resistance. And when the breakthrough come, it's suddenly obvious why the enemy works so hard. How many agree we're setting on that right now? The breakthrough is going to be so large, we're going to see why we've been fought so hard. Why the enemy has kept his ugly head up so much and why we spend a lot of time cutting it off. He keeps trying. Why does he keep trying? It's what he does. John 10:10 says, the thief comes but what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. He has not changed his nature. He's still coming to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil, which are to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy will come to try to discourage, discredit, cut off supplies, and actually try to shut down a ministry or shut down a personal life. Remember, I told you we're going to approach this in two different ways. First, I want to touch on the corporate, and then we'll deal a little bit with the personal. They're both side by side. What is it to be brokenhearted? Or look around you. How many of you are absolutely just hilarious over the condition this church is in right now? You're just so excited that it's so full, people can't get in. We're having to have 9 services a day. The money is just, we have a whole room stacked full of it, we can't count yet. Now, I know you see that in the spirit. But do you see it in manifestation? No. I see empty chairs right now. Now, I have to look at them as full. You know, I have to do that. What we see in this is the word disappointment. That's where we're going to begin. Disappointment. How many right now are disappointed that the church hasn't grown like we expected it to grow? Come on, raise your hand. Get your hand up high so God can see it. I can see it. The devil don't need to see it. He's the one we're dealing with this morning. Disappointed. Perhaps disillusioned might enter in after we've been disappointed. Any takers? How about discouragement? How about, you got to be kidding. I do not want to go back in that place again. I am so tired of nothing changing. Nothing changing. Come on now, let's don't get religious on me. Let's be honest here this morning. This is about a change. This is about a change. Remember I said, the word said the change of complexion? That's exactly what's going to happen. But the complexion is going to change because we got a hold of the heart and turned it just like that. And healed, allowed God to heal our broken hearts. What is it to be brokenhearted? Definition-wise, it means to break in pieces. How many remember that first love? Oh, that first love. And when they shunned you, how did your heart feel? How did your heart feel after somebody just stomped all over you because that girl didn't even notice you or that guy didn't even notice you? And that was your first love. We call it puppy love, but hey, folks, that was important at that time. That was major in our life. How many remember it? Come on now, y'all, not that old. You can remember that far back. I don't see an old person in this room, amen? Hey, compared to eternity, we're all still in diapers. Praise God. Not spiritually in diapers now, but age-wise. To break in pieces, a violent separation into two or more pieces, to rend violently, crush, shatter, destroy, bruise, tear, tread down. Not a place we want to be. These are attributes of a broken heart. These are, to address it right, you're going to have to deal with this word where a lot of people say, no, we're in faith. No, this is talking about feelings. Your feelings have been hurt. Your feelings have been stomped on. You've been run over. You've been beat down. See, nobody in the faith camp wants to talk about feelings, but we have feelings. You have feelings. I have feelings. Yes, we stand by faith. No, we don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. But how many know you still got feelings? And they get beat up. They get stomped on. And there's many, many reasons why. And we're going to touch on a few. I can't touch on them all. We'd be here all afternoon. But I'm not asking you so much you knowing all the reasons why. I'm asking you saying, okay, here's a few I know about. What I want to know about is how I get it healed. How I walk out of here this morning without a broken heart. What are the results? Wounds, hurts, disappointments. We get perplexed, discouraged, beat up. We get sick in heart and mind. Let's look at a few of these symptoms. See, when you get disappointed, let's take the corporate again and stay right there for just a little bit because this is one of the main things to deal with. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Lord brought up that one of the things we need to do in personal revival is to return to our first love. We need to get back to our first love. Amen? Jesus got to be first. All that Jesus is first. All He wants is first. So in that process, we come into this place right here. And we've lost some of our first love. And because of it, we've allowed the disappointment to get bigger than our first love. And we end up in a place of disappointment. We end up with a broken heart because we don't see anything changing. Now, I know none of y'all have had that feeling, had that thought, right? Come on now. I've had that thought. And I'm not supposed to get those kind of thoughts, right? I've had that thought. How many would actually believe that your pastor has ever wanted to give up? No, not me. Come on now. Get serious. You know. Can I take a little rabbit trail just for a little bit? Where's the pastor? I got to ask him about this. No. See if I can go this direction. How many's ever been rejected? I think I was born with it. And you all that know me well, I used to act that way. Rejection, man, that's painful. That hurts. That hurts. Especially when you reach out to somebody and they just whap, slap you. And you fall back and you hurt. You're paining inside. That's a broken heart. And if you continue to allow that, it begins to just settle in. And pretty soon that becomes a condition. It becomes, you say, I guess I just got to live with this. See, that's the first lie of the devil. You got to live with it. You don't. And I'm going to get to the part that we need to really address, and we will address it. So just bear with me. We've got to get this foundation laid. Because as I'm speaking, I'm believing and trusting the Holy Spirit to go ahead and begin to start dealing with your heart. Whether you even realize it or not, He's already working. He's already ministering. Rejection. How do you think... Now, let me preface this first. I'm not mad at nobody. Has anybody ever seen me really mad at anybody? No, because I do it behind old doors and you ain't going to hear me. No. No, I've hopefully got to a place of maturity where I get upset, but I don't get angry. I won't deal with it because that will steal and rob the anointing, and I don't want that. Yes, I get upset. But let's talk about this word. Both rejection and disappointment are going to work like this. Because see, when you're rejected, you're disappointed. You embrace both of it right in that action because all of a sudden they're pushing you away. They're saying, no, I don't want nothing to do with you. No, don't tell me. Get away from me. And you feel this. And you say, well, pastors don't do that. Pastors have it easy. Pastors are sheep too. That's a good book. There's a book written, Pastors Are Sheep Too. Let me give you a disappointment. Remember now, I'm not mad. I'm just stating a fact, okay? I'm showing you how this works. It works in the pulpit, works in the pew, works at home. This works because the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to keep you in a place where you have a broken heart so you can never step out of it and be all that you are in God. That's what God wants this morning. Take you way beyond where you're at because where you're at is not all that He has for you. But all that He has for you is already in you. And a broken heart will keep you from allowing that to come out and to be all that you are in God. I sit down, I study, I get ready for a teaching. I may put 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. It just depends on the subject. Depends on how the Holy Spirit leads. Let's say on average time, I sit down and maybe I've studied 6-7 hours. I come, I get ready to teach. Let's say it's a Tuesday night. And no one shows up. Now, I knew one preacher that said he did that on his first meeting. He preached to the chairs. He said, I had a wonderful time. I preached, I just burned them chairs up. I preached to every chair, got every chair saved. That's a good way to be. How many know all of us haven't arrived at that place just yet? How about preaching to one? Two. I'm going to share this because I thought it was kind of comical. A lot of people travel and stuff, so we had a small service last week. And two of our parishioners, I don't like that word, two of our members, two of the saints said, it's nice to have a personal pastor. Rejection, disappointment. Three main things are going to work in this. Rejection, betrayal, and grief. Don't ever forget those. Rejection, betrayal, and grief. Now it's going to deal with, along the lines, you're going to have disappointment, discouragement. You're going to get, angry at God. You mean we can actually get angry at God? Yes. Very much so. Rejection. Let's go through a few of these because I want you to identify with this in a feeling aspect because this is where your heart gets wounded. This is where your heart begins to break. Break in pieces where it looks like it cannot be fixed. Rejection. Nobody loves you. Anybody been there? I've been there. Yet Ephesians 1 and 6 says, God has accepted us in the Beloved before the foundation of the earth. Betrayal. Oh, nobody does that nowadays. Betrayal. Psalms 55, go read it. Verses 13 and 14. He said, it's not the one who I didn't know or the stranger. It was the one we had close communion with. It was my closest friend that betrayed me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm always there. He said, I won't betray you. Grief. Now, we know there's a natural process of grief. We know when you lose a loved one, someone dies, there's that process. But at the same time, grief has an end. It must have an end. Scripture never relates that grief went on. I believe the longest time I ever saw it was either 30 or 40 days. And normally it's 30. Even over, Moses, I think, was 30 days. And they said, get up, grief time is over. So if you carry grief out longer than that, you need to study it out of the Scripture. But I'm not talking about that grief alone. Grief finds its root, and I believe we've talked about this before, but grief finds its root in the fear of loss. Fear of losing something and cannot get it back. How many know that when a loved one passes on, you fear you've lost them. You have no more contact with them. You have nothing. They'll never be around you. You've lost all that. But if they know Jesus, you're going to see them again and you will know them. Because we're all headed in the same direction. They just went on ahead of us. But there's a fear of loss that causes a grief that breaks your heart. And you carry that. You carry that. You carry that. Because you can't ever accept the fact that I didn't lose that. Whether it's person, job, security, finances, home, car, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Friendships. Anybody ever grieved over a friendship that was broke off and you don't know why? Now you got both grief and betrayal in it and wonderment. You become what? Discouraged. What does discouragement basically run? See, I'm just running through these because I want you to get the feelings of it. I want you to, because see, the Holy Spirit's still working. Just relax. He's working on you. And when we break this thing, it's going to be taken care of. Now, let me caution to this too. I know when this has been ministered in some other places, some other men have ministered this message. I didn't go back and study what they did because I wanted this to be straight from the Holy Spirit. But if you all of a sudden feel like crying, don't hold it back. And don't be concerned to get embarrassed about you're crying and nobody else is. This is not about that. This is about you getting free. Amen. So if the Holy Spirit begins to break you to where you are now allowing Him to take that out of you, let it go. You're not going to bother me. You're not going to bother those around you. Because we're here, why? We want to see people free. We want this thing out of our lives because this will keep us down. It'll keep us just like we are. Because it's holding us back. And I'll show you why in a minute. Disappointment. Things didn't happen like we thought they should or when they should. That's a big one right there. Timing. Timing. And in disappointment, we deal with what? Preconceived ideas. Then we begin to expect something. And then we get unfulfilled expectations. See, the root meaning of the word hope is expecting. You're expecting. That's what hope is. We'll come back to Proverbs in just a minute. Of course, angry at God. I guess God has turned His back. Why won't God do this for me now? Anybody prayed that? How do you feel when He didn't do it? What happened to your heart when He didn't do it? Do you say, well, okay, we'll just keep going. Come on now. Honesty. See, God knows anyway. That's why He's bringing this out, because He wants your heart healed. He wants you to walk out of here this morning. You have no brokenness in your heart. But your heart is full and happy and merry. And I'll show you why out of Proverbs. What, we feel left out, overlooked, passed by, unnoticed, and undone, right? Just totally. The unsatisfied longing of a hungry soul results in the faintness of spirit and sickness of heart. Hope deferred, delayed, prolonged makes the heart sick. What is a sick heart? It's not happy. It's not merry. It's not full of joy. It's full of disappointment. Here's the worst part. As it begins to develop and hold and build in there, it can become bitter. And we have a root of bitterness begin to end up. When you get that kind of a situation working, what it goes out the window is you're now no longer able to forgive. And that's a danger. You must be able to forgive. Somebody hurts you bad, you've got to forgive them. Somebody betrays you, you've got to forgive them. Because your heart can never be healed until you forgive that person. I don't care what they did. This is not about you and them. This is about you and God. Because as long as you hold on to that unforgiveness, then God can't work with you. He can't minister to you. You know, many times we've seen this work in relationships where somebody just does something absolutely like it. We've been hurt. We didn't know why they hurt us. But we had to release them. In God, we have to release them. Because we end up in this condition with a broken heart, and we have a root of bitterness springing up, and that is not a good place to be. God addresses that in Hebrew. I think it's Hebrews 12 and 15. It says, do not allow that to happen to you. I read you two powerful scriptures. And I'm going to go fast over a few things, and we're going to settle down on this scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to complete His healing process. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Now we know these scriptures, but I want you to listen to this. We've been talking about rejection, and we've been talking about betrayal and grief and disappointments and discouragement and disillusion. I mean, we've become disillusioned where we wonder if we even want to believe anymore. Am I talking to the right people this morning? Disillusion, that means, you know, this don't work. Yeah, the word works if we work it. The word works if we work it. Amen? Faith works if you use it. If you stop in faith, it doesn't work. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely He, now we're talking about Jesus, all right? This is a prophecy given by Isaiah about our Savior. Surely He hath borne our griefs. Well, if He bore them, what are we doing with them? He gave us an opportunity by taking them upon His own self so that we would not have to deal with them, so that we wouldn't have to end up in a broken heart, end up in a bad place, a bad situation, ugly feelings. Surely He hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God. That is a broken heart. That's what broken means. It means to strike it until it breaks. Smitten. Smitten's not means he's smitten over the girl next door. No, this means breaking. A violent situation. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. These are all definitions of a broken heart. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Healed from what? Healed from everything He just talked about. Healed from everything we need healing for. Luke 4:18. You also find this in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Somebody ought to shout right there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It was on Jesus. It's on you this morning. They may not believe that this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is on you right now. Not just about this. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. He's moved His Spirit to you to carry out His plan on this earth. But let's look what Jesus did here. This is talking about Jesus. We know this story. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now it's very interesting. God has a tremendous sense of humor. He also has a tremendous sense of putting something in that we have to search out so hard that we end up, we do get the revelation on it, but it requires work. It requires us to really get in there and dig to find out, because, see, he said, if you build your house on the rock, that means you're going to have to dig hard. You're going to have to dig deep to build that foundation on rock, not just sand. Sand's easy to dig in. The word is hard to dig in, but it's easy to receive once you begin to dig in it. Brokenhearted is only used 2 times in Scripture. Isaiah 61, Luke 4:18. Those words together are not used in the Bible. They're used in context and in definition, but not actual word. So I believe God wanted to make it sure that you understood this is what he's talking about when he's dealing with a broken heart. Heal. If you get a cut, you take a bandage and you bind up the cut to protect it. So that what? It gets into an atmosphere, a condition to be healed. Amen? You put that bandage around it. It both protects it and keeps in the healing power if you put something on it, like an ointment, so that it keeps it and it begins that healing. It gets it in that place of healing. That's where you're at this morning. Jesus is here to bind up, to heal, wrap around you, pour in that oil, that salve, that precious ointment to heal your broken heart. To preach deliverance to captives. If your heart is broke, you're captive this morning. You're captive to your heart. You're captive to your feelings. You're captive to that bad relationship. You can't go on beyond it. You wonder why you can't have a relationship that keeps growing and keeps right, keeps making good, because you're still holding on to the ugliness of what happened to you. We have to let it go. Preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. How many know that spiritual blindness is worse than natural blindness? Because if you cannot see the things of the Lord, you are in a very, very bad place. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Proverbs 14 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness. You don't need to turn there, but kind of make a note on it or get the tape. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. Where is the blood manufactured? In the bone marrow, in the bones. Anytime it deals with bones here, it's talking about your source of natural life. It's talking about your divine health being manifest in your body. But also notice this. It said, sweet to the soul. What is the soul? The mind, the will, and the emotions. Where is your broken heart? In your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your emotions is what gets hurt. Your feelings. Then you dwell on it in your mind. And you begin to think about it. And pretty soon, you need something that is sweet to your soul. Brings sweetness to your mind. Heals those feelings. Broken heart, smashed, splintered, pulverized, broken, crushed, demolished, destroyed. You get the idea. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We've quoted that. We keep forgetting the other half says, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit. It's talking about your heart. Broken means to be stricken, wounded, smitten. Isaiah 53:5. Broken spirit, broken heart. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Infirmity means weakness or sickness. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? If you really gave in to your feelings that are in your heart in certain areas, what would happen to you? See, we push them down. We don't deal with them. We still have the broken heart, but we've compressed it and covered it over to a degree that we're surviving. How many want to be overcomers? More than conquerors, not just surviving. Let's go back to Proverbs 13:12. Let's begin to pull this thing into place now. Remember to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because He is working in you right now. Working in you to make a change. The only way you can go out of here this morning without being touched is if you choose not to be. And that is your choice. But praise God, I know you want to be touched and healed and brought up to a higher place in God. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope means to wait in expectancy, to tarry in trust until it happens. Tarry in trust until it happens. Deferred simply means to prolong, postpone, procrastinate. That's another interesting thought. Hope deferred. How does hope get deferred? You know, we're talking about this process now, but how does hope get deferred? Well, most of the time we step out of it. And it's deferred because... Now, let me interject this about hope so we can understand what we're talking about. We know it means expecting. It means that we're anticipating something. How many of you ever stood at the window and hoped because somebody was coming to visit you? You knew they were coming, and you were expectant. You kept kind of looking out the windows. You were hoping. See, you were expecting them to show up because they said they were coming. What happened when they didn't show up? Or they were late, and you begin, oh, maybe they're not coming. That's the process. Now, we say that's a little natural. No, that's how it begins. That's how it begins. That's that process. And see, the devil will take that and use it to get you to get backed up. To pretty soon you say, no, they told me last time they were coming. I'm not going to expect them. I'm not going to get my hope up. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now faith is. When is faith? Now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Heard a preacher, well, those of y'all that were here Tuesday night heard the preacher. He said this simply. He said, if you don't see what you're hoping for, you're in faith. You got it. It said it's the evidence of things not seen. That means you have it. You have the evidence for the proof that you have this. So if you don't see it, you got it. That's faith. He said it better than I did, but that's all right. You'll have to come the next time we show it again. We'll put it off on Jesse DePlantis. I mean, knows he can say things better than anybody around I know. But what is he saying here? Now faith is the substance of the thing we expect to come. And it's the evidence of that which we haven't seen yet with our natural eyes. So we have the evidence. That's our faith. Faith is our hope. Our hope, another way to put it is, hope is the blueprint. It's the picture. It's what we see that we're expecting. But when you defer that, when you stop it, cease it, you don't see it anymore, what comes in is disappointment, discouragement, and carries on down the line. And we all know that if we've experienced this, that from discouragement, you can go into another heavy word called despondency. Then you can step it over and again, and pretty soon we're what? We're just flat out depressed. And we're in a miserable condition. Totally miserable because we have gone this in. Because what? We stopped hope. We deferred hope. We stopped hoping or seeing the picture that God has drawn and aiming our faith toward it. We stopped it. Now there's other things that can stop it too. How many believe the devil does not want you to succeed? He gets into it. That's why the disappointment comes. He begins to dwell on that. He begins to feed your mind thoughts. You know, you ain't never going to get nothing. You're not worthy. Don't you remember what you used to do? Well, it don't matter what you used to do. If you've been born again, blood bought, that's gone. And we've covered that, so I don't want to dwell on that. Watch this. Sick means to be weak, diseased, pain to the mind, to be infirmed, wounded, suffering, grief. All right, let's cut right down to the chase now. You've been wounded. You've been disappointed. We come in here and we see chairs that are not full yet. It's disappointing. It can become discouraging.
We can stop hoping. Hope now is deferred. Our heart begins to get sick, weak, faint. It wants to stay home and not come. It doesn't want to get involved. It gets all kind of attributes begins to work and get churning in this whole process. And it's not just about activity. It's about you and God. Your heart's broke, but who is it broke towards? It's broke towards God. Now, yeah, you could be mad at the person, but you're mad at that person because they were your friend and they left you and you don't... God, how come you let them do that? See, we'll always shift back to blaming God for everything because we think He's in control. He is. But He's not in control of this other than to bring the healing. You get hurt, you get wounded. You begin to feel disappointment, discouragement. You want to give up. You feel rejected, betrayed. All these feelings come in and your heart is broke. First thing it does is begin to shut you down. You begin to shut down to people. You begin to shut down to relationships. You begin to shut down to anything that might cause you additional pain or remind you of the pain. So what do? We build a fortress. We build us a stronghold around us, around our thoughts, around our pains to protect us from getting hurt again. Nobody wants to be hurt again, right? So we build this fortress. See, 2 Corinthians 10:4 talks about it. It says, weapons are mighty and strong through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We're talking about a stronghold that's been built around you to protect you from wounds so they bounce off. They don't get in. But what happens? You just closed in and protected your pain, your wounding, your disappointment, your discouragement. You built a solid fortress that keeps all those things in. They can't get out. God can't get in because you build a fortress and keep Him out. That's why it says tear down the strongholds. Tear down anything that rises up above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said He came to heal the brokenhearted. Yet we build the fortress and keep Him out. And keep pain in. And keep disappointment in. Keep discouragement in. And we walk around with a broken heart. Now, yeah, this area right out here may look good. We may think, okay, we're all right. We're okay. No, you got all this in you that's just sitting there getting worse and worse and worse because it hadn't been dealt with. It keeps you from victory. It'll keep you from your healing. It'll keep you from having victory in any area. How can God get in to heal you in any area when your heart's broke? You've all of a sudden just wrapped it up. And you say, no. I'm not going to be hurt again. So when you say that, you say, well, I'm not going to allow God to get in there. Because I'll tell you something that happens, and we've been in a service where this was ministered this way. Sometimes you've got to go back and experience that pain one more time. Just one more time. You've got to remember what was done to you just one more time. As God takes it from you just like that. And it's gone. Because you've been healed for broken heart. So when you even think you've done this, tear it down. Cast it down. That's what casting down means. To tear down violently. Get it out of the way. And say, here I am, God. You fix me. Because I am open to you. I'm open to be touched. I'm open to be healed. I don't care how I feel. I'm not worried about that they did this. I don't care if I've been rejected 100 times. I want to be free from this pain. And we didn't touch on everything. I hit highlights because I want you to just identify with it. But I want you to dwell on it. I want you to dwell on the healer this morning. I want you to dwell on the fact that, hey, God will heal my broken heart. You say, well, I'm not even sure I knew I had one. Yeah, you had one. Because there's not a person in this room that I know anything about that hasn't been hurt one way or the other. Hey, yeah, you may have released it. But you built this thing to keep you from getting hurt again. And so your heart's still broke. So we want God to heal our broken hearts. So we can continue in the realm of what He wants us to do here. We can continue to stand in hope. We continue to have our zeal and our first love. Why? Because there's nothing holding us back. But we're wide open to the Spirit of the Lord. We're comfortable both inside and outside. Because we've been healed. We've been touched. Amen? Well, that's what God wants to do today. Now, I've laid what He's put on my heart to lay. He spoke through me. And He's been working on you ever since I've been talking. Some of you already have sensed it to some degree. You begin to think. Some of us don't quite want to let go. And sense that in the Spirit. And like I said, it's your choice, but He's here to heal. He'll take every part of your broken heart today, right now. Take it off of you. But we got to let Him. We got to let Him. Amen? Amen? So how many want to go out with a broken heart? Or how many want to go out totally freed and have all that pain gone and have your heart open, and it doesn't matter if pain comes again because it's not going to rend you the same way? See, that's our fear. We fear, well, if I do this, I'll get hurt again. Well, you got to be willing to be hurt again. That's where the healing comes. Because, see, it's God that will keep you, not you guarding so you don't get hurt. We surrender to God. So you surrender this to God. Amen? We're going to just wait a couple of minutes. Just allow the Spirit to keep working. If you would, go ahead and close your eyes and so there'll be no distractions. Don't be concerned about anybody around you. But just allow the Spirit of the Lord. You know, if you have to, and you pray this out loud, pray it to yourself, just tell the Holy Spirit right now, I'm open. I'm willing to be healed this morning. And it's a choice you have to make. Just like when you got saved, you had to make a choice. But God will do a dynamic work today if you will let Him. And it will change some things beyond your wildest imagination. I can't even begin to express what a difference it's going to make. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. 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 Scripture says, ask and you shall receive. He said, if you ask me for this, will I give you a stone? He said, no, I'll give you what you asked for. I'll give you what I promised. It's yours this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. He's removing those things right now. That disappointment. Your hopes beginning to come. You can sense the expectancy beginning to rise back on the inside of you. The pain is going. That wound. See, some of those wounds are buried so deep that we've had them covered over for a long, long time. But by opening ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord, He will expose them and remove them. You may even had some that you thought you had under control. But the Holy Spirit is removing that right now. Touching that deepest wound that goes all the way down in there that You're not even sure you could find it, but just let it go to the Lord. Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit this morning. Let Him minister to you. Doesn't matter what the subject was, what the instance was, let the Holy Spirit have it. And Jesus is here to heal you. I'll wait just a little bit longer. And then we're going to seal this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you feel you have genuinely given it to the Lord and you know God has touched you this morning, I want you to go ahead and stand to your feet. If you haven't yet, it's all right, because just continue to wait. But I want you, as you feel freed, as you feel like God has touched you, I want you to just stand to your feet. There's no shame in whether you're standing or sitting. This is not what it's about. Because your standing is letting the devil know that you're healed. He's defeated. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. And as we go on, even after we dismiss the service, if you feel you need prayer or want hands laid on you, we'll be glad to stay and pray with you. If you need a little extra help, touch. But the Holy Spirit's the one that's doing the work. He's already touching you. He's already taking care of you. We have to release it. We have to release it. Thank you, Lord. We give it to you, Lord. We give it to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.